Some of the notable things of recent months has been that during lockdown, people prayed, whether they recognised what they were doing or not, who knows. But a survey that was commissioned by TFUN back in 2018, this was 2017, the results were issued at the start of 2018, found that 51% of adults in the UK pray. It's over half of the UK adults pray. Half of those, 55%, said they would pray in a crisis. Even among those who would say they were not religious, so those who don't have any faith in that sense, 20% said they prayed. And that was back in 2018, before lockdown. At the start of 2020, we were joined by Richard Gamble, who is the CEO of the Eternal Wall of Answered Prayer. If you haven't found this website, do go and have a little look at it. We as a church have at least one brick in that. We will have one brick at least in that, which is to do with the manse purchase in 2012. There may well be many more that to be added into that brick, bricks to be added in. So if you haven't known anything about that, do check it out. You can also still get your prayers on there. It's featured in the national press just recently. I don't know if you've seen it on the TV. BBC News have done a feature on it. And Richard and the guys at Eternal Wall of Answered Prayer commissioned a national survey on prayer. Good that, isn't it? Just as well as on that subject. This survey that they did found that one third of UK adults are now praying and engaging with church regularly. A third of UK adults are praying and engaging with church regularly. Not necessarily in person, let's be honest, but people are tuning in, they are watching, they are accessing. And perhaps most encouraging, this was reported by the BBC, this is on their website, it says, young people in the UK are twice as likely as older people to pray regularly. A new survey has found some 51% of 18 to 34-year-olds have said they pray at least once a month, compared with only 24% of those aged 55 and over. So twice as many young people are praying than those over 55, at least once a month. I don't know whether that's what you would expect, whether that's what you thought would be happening, but that's as reported by the BBC News. Now, I know that it's easy for, and some of you are statisticians, and you can make numbers say what you want them to say. I know that as well from an accountant's perspective. I can present them in such a way that they look quite okay, when actually perhaps there's something different. But, you know, the reality is we can all make numbers say what we want them to say. But however these numbers are interpreted, the truth is that people are praying. That's my experience. That's my experience talking to people over these last 2 years. People are much more attuned to and aware of God. If you go to the Eternal Wall of Answered Prayer website, you can watch the interview that Richard did with BBC News around this survey. And in the survey, the interesting thing that Richard talks about is the fact that, you know, we're not just talking about prayer to anybody. You know, the numbers that they've come up with, the numbers that have been reported, significantly, people are praying to Jesus, not just to anything or anybody. You know, overwhelmingly, people are turning to Jesus. Now, we as a church have, over this last couple of years, been encouraging people to try praying. You might have seen a banner or two, one at the front and one at the back. You might have seen a booklet or two being available. And we've given away lots and lots of booklets over the last 18 months. As a church, we know that prayer is important, don't we? And we would say prayer is important. We would understand that. We'd recognise that. And we kind of sign up to that. But what do we mean and what do we understand by church being a place to pray? These believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. This is what we've been doing over the last few weeks. And today we come to this fourth in the series of prayer and church being a place to pray. First thing I want to say is this: prayer is both personal and corporate. When we read the story of Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, those of you who know Daniel in the lion's den, that kind of account, this is what happens before that. It says in verse 10, well, Daniel learned that the decree had been published. This is the decree by Darius, who was the king, to say that you couldn't pray to anyone else other than him. Daniel went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. There, three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. So when Daniel heard that there was a matter to pray about, something, he went home, went to his upstairs room, turned to look towards Jerusalem and prayed. When Jesus instructs his disciples in Matthew chapter 6, he says this, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." We begin to see as we read these stories that, and these accounts, that prayer is a personal thing. It's between us and God. It's not something to be paraded out there in the public realm. And so we talk about prayer diaries and prayer journals. We talk about our private prayers. And this is all valid and really important. And as followers of Jesus Christ, those who have chosen to follow Jesus, we need to be prayers. We need to be those who pray. And not just occasionally. Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, he says, "Rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances." Does that mean we pray all the time? Well, it does. But what we need to do is understand what prayer is. Prayer isn't closing your eyes, starting with a dear God and ending with an amen. That isn't simply what prayer is. So we need to unpack a little bit what we mean by prayer. And we'll do that. Prayer ultimately is about communicating with our Father in heaven. Jesus says that. When you pray, pray to your Father who is unseen, and he will hear you. He will hear what you have to say. So prayer is about communicating with our Father. Now, in terms of earthly fathers, you don't often kind of close your eyes and say, "Dear Father, amen," when you're talking to them. You talk to them, and you listen to them. You ask them a question, and you wait for a response. Sometimes you don't. But when we talk about God, sometimes when we kind of come to this idea of this concept of prayer, this concept of communicating with our Father, we have a kind of different perspective on what we do. And it seems to me that actually what we should be doing is keeping the lines of communication with our Father open 24/7. That's what prayer continually is all about. It's not about us talking to him non-stop for 24 hours a day, because he'll get bored of that. Actually, he won't. He loves it when we talk to him. But actually, he also wants us to listen. So it's about talking, about spilling out how we're feeling, being honest with him, sharing our hearts, sharing the struggles we're facing when we're having that bad day, being able to openly, honestly acknowledge that to him. But then allowing ourselves to pause and to let him say something to us. So it's not all about the one-way traffic. Personal prayer is vital for us as Christians. It's part of how we grow as Christians. Talking to God. Listening to him. Just keeping that relationship open. Making sure that there's nothing in the way that blocks our listening to him and speaking to him. But the thing is, when Luke in Acts chapter 2, as in this passage, talks about prayer, he isn't speaking about a devotion to private prayer or personal prayer. The verse or the words that are translated for us here are better translated as the prayers. So they devote themselves to the prayers rather than to prayer. It's a corporate coming together as believers for worship, for praise, for obedience, for recognizing, as we did last Sunday, remembering what Christ has done. But also being able to tell him the things that are on our heart. And if you notice this passage in 1 Thessalonians, prayer comes between rejoicing always and giving thanks in all circumstances. So prayer is in the context of praise and thanks. Part of what prayer is praise and thanks. There is a devotion to gathering together to communicate with our Father. And Paul picks this up in Colossians chapter 4. He says this, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. The early believers devoted themselves to coming together, to the prayers, to prayer. And now here Paul is talking to another group of Christians. This church at Colossae wasn't actually one church, it was a group of different gatherings of believers across the Asia Minor, or modern-day Turkey. And they needed to have this devotion to prayer, to coming together, to share together. Now, prayer is, yes, a personal thing, but primarily it's about something we do together. It's something we share in as the church. And we need both personal and corporate prayer. We need something, we need time when we as a church gather together to pray. What does that look like? Well, we'll come to that in a little bit. Before we do that, before we get into the detail of what that may mean for us, let's remind ourselves that prayer is an incredible privilege. Revelation chapter 5. And when you're taking it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Just look at those last few words. Golden bowls full of incense. Incense is that sweet aroma that comes. And our prayers are like sweet aroma, sweet incense in heaven. You know, that's an incredible concept and something to think about, isn't it? So when you pray, whether you're just talking out those thoughts that are in your heart and mind, when you're praying, what happens to them? They don't just bounce off the ceiling, as often we think they do. They end up in the very presence of God, and to him they are as incense. So it doesn't matter what words you use, doesn't matter how stumbling you are, doesn't matter how fluent you are in your prayers. The prayers that we offer, the prayers of God's people, and it doesn't quantify that with the prayers of God's people that use the right words in the right order without stumbling. It just says the prayers of God's people. So your prayer, faltering, stuttering words that you perhaps sometimes say, end up in heaven, in the very presence of God as this sweet aroma. Have you ever thought of it like that? Your prayers matter. They don't just bounce off the ceiling. Paul encourages us. He says, you know, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for sometimes. But the Spirit intercedes for us through wordless groans. Sometimes it's very hard for us to actually put into words how we really feel. We don't quite know how to articulate what we feel. You know, we don't actually need to do that. God doesn't ask us and say, well, if you don't put it into words, then it doesn't matter. God, by his Spirit, interprets the groanings of our hearts and in his way interprets them for us in heaven. What an incredible thought that is. So when we're struggling for words, when we're struggling with how to speak and we don't quite know what to say, actually, God hears that because the Spirit takes that and acts almost as our translator, presenting that to God in heaven as incense. Prayer is so important because God longs more than anything else to hear from his children. God, the Father, wants to hear from his children. And he doesn't care if we stumble over our words. He doesn't care if there's pauses and silence. God doesn't get freaked out if suddenly in the prayer time there's 5 minutes of nothing and silence. We panic and we feel like someone's got to break the silence and we've got to kind of say something. God doesn't. God just delights in his children being in that place. Every prayer, no matter how stumbling we are, how difficult it is to actually get the words out, every prayer is heard. Not one word of our prayers is missed. Those prayers are heard and they're answered. Not always in the way that we want, because as we're going to come to notice in a moment, you know, the key thing is to pray your will be done on earth as in heaven. In praying to God, we are telling him how we feel, but we're asking him to guide us and to help us. You know, your prayers are important. God longs to hear from you. And that's not just for us personally, that's also for us together as a community. We need to be a church that is devoted to praying. Prayer is that wonderful thing of being able to stand in the gap for people. People who don't know how to pray for themselves, we can pray for them. So many stories have been told of people who don't necessarily know how to pray, and yet God's people have prayed and God has answered those prayers. That's the privilege for us. Yes, there's a sense in which we also need as a church to come and to pray for ourselves, to pray for the things that are on our hearts as a church community. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago about the manse in 2012 when we bought that and the journey that we went on. And as we went on that journey, as we prayed, we discovered that God answered our prayers. And I remember talking at the end of that process and saying, what lessons have we learned? And this was one of the lessons, that when we pray, and pray specifically, God answers. Where are we at 8 years, 9 years later? Well, we're trying to buy another manse. Guess what, folks? You know, we've learnt the lessons 9 years ago. Let's not forget those lessons. When we pray, and when we pray specifically, God answers. When we pray for people, when we pray for individuals, God hears those prayers. I remember listening to the story of D.L. Moody, and I've told this story many times, because it's just an amazing story. D.L. Moody was an American evangelist. And there was somebody that he was praying for, and he just longed for this person to come to faith. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. He sought opportunities, he shared his faith. He talked to this person about his faith. And D.L. Moody had passed away before ever seeing this guy become a Christian. And it was as D.L. Moody's coffin was being lowered into the ground that man gave his life to Christ. D.L. Moody never saw it, but he never gave up praying. He never gave up hope that this man would come to faith. He never saw that moment, but he continued faithfully to pray. How long is too long to pray for somebody? At what point do we go, well, I've prayed for this person for 5 years and nothing's happened, so we'll stop praying for them now? That's not how it is it? Let's keep praying for individuals that we know, family members we love, that God would bring them to faith. God is a God of miracles. It's a great privilege for us as individuals and as a church to pray for people, to pray for our community. We mentioned earlier that next Sunday we're going to gather together in person at Christ the Redeemer to pray for our community, to pray for a breakthrough, to pray for God to do a work in this community. He is doing something very special, but we want more of that. So let's talk a bit about the pattern of prayer. What does it actually look like? And we know the Lord's Prayer, don't we? Some of us can recite it. Some of us recite it in the modern version. Some of us use the traditional version. This is how it is recorded in Matthew's account. This then is how we should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let's sing it. All right? Let's just put our masks on, sit where we are, and we'll sing the Lord's Prayer rather than say it. Let's put it to music. Just want to highlight two phrases from that. The first is, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your holy is your name." You know, I said earlier, our prayers are not just addressed to anybody. Our prayers are addressed to our Father who is in heaven, a Father who is holy, who is reverent. That verse from Revelation, that passage from Revelation reminds us that our God is an awesome God, and yet we can draw near to him. Our Father, we can come close to him and surround him, and we're in his presence. What an incredible privilege that is for us to draw near to him. But then, as we sung at the end there, your kingdom come, let earth come, let heaven come to earth. There's this sense in which whatever we pray, however we pray, whatever it is we're praying for, ultimately, it's about us surrendering to what God wants, what God's plan is for us and for those we know and love and for those whom we're praying. It's not about me praying to get my will. That's not prayer. Prayer is about me praying and hearing what God's will is and surrendering to God's will, telling God how I feel, telling God what I would like, absolutely. But then ultimately surrendering to him. When we use that pattern, the Lord's Prayer pattern, I think, you know, the challenge for us is it's not there to be quoted as it is printed all the time. It's useful, as helpful to do that. But it's a guide. It's a pattern. When Jesus talked to his disciples, he didn't say, pray exactly like this every time you pray. He said, this is how you can pray. This is what you should be talking about. This is how to do it. This is a pattern for you to follow. Recognize who I am. Recognize who you are. Pray for forgiveness for one another. Pray for your daily bread. Recognize that I am Lord, and ultimately it's his kingdom, not mine. When I prepare and lead prayer times, I have a pattern that I use, and I'll share this as one of many patterns. There are others out there. And it's simply using the acronym of ACTS. We start with adoration, worshipping him for who he is, recognizing our God is a great God, confessing our sin in the light of his holiness, hallowed be your name. When we come close to our Holy Father, we are reminded of how unholy we are. And so our response is to confess. Thanksgiving. Before we jump into listening to our prayer requests, let's take time to thank God for what he has done. We can do that next Sunday as we have our harvest service, to thank God for his faithfulness, to thank God for all the good things that he has given to us. You know, you read through the Bible, and so often the thanks doesn't come. It's not there. And Jesus said to those beggars, where's the other nine? Only one came back to say thank you. So there is a need to recognize and to say thank you to God for the things that he has done in our lives. And then we can bring our request to God. We can, the word is supplication, but basically means bring our requests. But requests starts with R, doesn't quite work. So supplication is bringing our requests to God. Bring those things that are on our hearts, whether that's for others or for ourselves, for our loved ones. Just a little, but find a pattern that works for you. When we come together as a church, we will use something similar to that to kind of help us and to frame our time together. But let's get practical just for a moment. What does it look like in reality? We have, as a church, a prayer chain. It's on WhatsApp, but if you're not on WhatsApp on your phones, you can ask and we'll phone you. It's not something we add you to automatically. You have to ask to be on it, because it's personal stuff is shared on it. But it's a way to communicate with stuff that's going on in our church community, to pray for one another. We meet weekly to pray on a Monday. We used to meet weekly on Sundays. That hasn't quite happened since we came out of lockdown. the 9:30 on a Sunday morning prayer slot. We used to pray from 9:30 till 10 on a Sunday morning. We haven't started doing that again. Maybe that will happen in the next few weeks. Maybe it's important for us to come to pray for our time. And Monday morning prayer time is an opportunity to pray for individuals. That will continue on Zoom in the short term at least. We meet fortnightly in our small groups, and our small groups provide us a place to pray. Pray for one another, to pray for each other, to pray and to share prayer needs that perhaps it's harder to do in a corporate, bigger sense, but in a small group it's perhaps a little bit easier, not always that easy, to share things to pray for one another. We're going to be prayer walking at Marley every fortnight. On a monthly basis, we have our Abbey prayer. We have church prayer meetings. We haven't had, our next one is in October, end of October. So kind of watch out for that. But the plan is to have a monthly prayer time. Now we hopefully can do that, to come together to pray. We used to have our annual prayer weekend. We haven't had that again this year, just with all that's gone on. But we were looking to get that back in the diary again, 24 hours of prayer. We pray as a Abbey community, monthly. There are lots of opportunities and people in our church, we can find different ways to pray. And you don't have to come and speak out. You don't have to, you know, if you do come, we don't expect you to have to pray audibly. That's not a requirement of being there. It's a gathering together, sharing together, acknowledging together. For God says, or Jesus says, what two or three agree on earth will be agreed in heaven. When we come together and we, as a collective, we agree something to pray for our church, to pray for individuals, that matters to God. You know, I'd love some of these things to be more populated with church members and church attendees, and I'm hoping and praying that this encouragement that we're looking at to be a praying church, it makes a difference. You know, we're reminded again of the importance of prayer. But let's just pause just for a moment as we finish. You know, these early believers were devoted to prayer. That's what it says, devoted to the prayers, to coming together, to pray together. And when you read on in the rest of Acts, you see how those prayers were answered. We can so easily skip past these steps, and we get to the bit where God added daily to their number those who have been saved, and we get excited about that. But we miss the steps that went before that, the devotion to learning together, the devotion to loving together, the devotion to coming together to worship in obedience together, the gathering together to pray together. We need to be a praying people, a people that pray for one another, together, praying privately, personally, praying corporately. What does that mean for you? I go back to what I said at the end of last Sunday. When we talk about, you know, worship and obedience, you know, it's not as simple as me standing at the front and telling you what that looks like. You know, you need to figure that out for yourselves. You need to work out for you what being obedient to God in worship looks like. You need to figure out too what praying looks like for you. I can't tell you. Some people are morning people. I'm not particularly good in the mornings, but I'm better in the evenings, better at night. So I'd be quite happy at midnight singing and praying, not at 7 o'clock in the morning, you know. Some of you are the 7 o'clock in the morning people. So it's not me telling you to do it at midnight when you want to do it at 7 in the morning. So you've got to figure it out for yourself. What works for you? What works in your pattern? How can you find the time? Can you find time to get out and go for a walk and pray as you're walking? What does it look like for you to be a praying person, a praying Christian? Work it through with God. Don't duck the issue. But also, what does it mean for us as a church to be a praying church? And I'm not going to tell you what that looks like. I've put up a whole load of opportunities there are for us. But we need to together, collectively, work out what this looks like. How do we encourage one another to pray? How do we do this? What does it mean for us as a church to be a praying church? And prayer changes things. When we pray, God seems to answer our prayers, doesn't he? As C.S. Lewis says, was it C.S. Lewis, something about prayer and, you know, coincidences happen when we pray. You know, and sometimes that is how it is, isn't it? We pray and things happen. And we go, how did that happen? And we go, oh, yes, because we prayed. Funny that. Let's be a community, a church, a people of God that are devoted to prayer. But we need to work that out for ourselves, collectively and corporately and personally. Praying for ourselves, for our brothers and sisters, for those around the world, for other needs as they become apparent to us. We're going to finish with, we should do one song to finish with. Before we do that, we're going to pause to pray. Let's just be quiet, just be still. What is it that God's asking of you? What does it mean for you personally at this moment to be a person who follows Jesus and wants to be committed to be a prayer? What does that look like for you? How do you do that? How do you build that into your daily, weekly schedules? What does it mean for us as a church to be a praying people?